October 6, 2013, afternoon service. Today we are going to look at Psalm 27 of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumble and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. This is the words of David, and is very realistic since this is based on his real life. Though he was a king, he did not have easy beginning. He was first serving King Saul, and Saul got jealous, and then he raised up the entire army and went after David to kill him. So, as the third verse says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, was the reality of David. Although this is David's personal experience, the story of David and King Saul is very relevant to our time as we are approaching to the Great Tribulation. Saul chasing after David's life is prophetic occurrence of the Great Tribulation, and we will be entering into such age as David says, though an army may encamp against me. But even when we face persecution as a Christian, we should always be trusting the Lord as David. People in this world live in a different value system. Like, they don't like to be on the losing side. If there was a court case against them, they would hire a lawyer and fight to win the case, for example. David did not stop the persecution in such a logical and legal manner, like taking King Saul to the court. David just trusted God. And in the end, Saul brought his own destruction upon him and lost his life in the battle. We might also face persecution, but the Lord will protect those he has promised to protect. So do not lose faith. When we are doing the work of the Lord, we see situations without justice. But we might have to experience those to learn the true values of the Bible. There are many people who criticize me, and people say things that aren't even true about me, and it is really upsetting. But this is only the beginning of the Great Tribulation, and there are some of you who have not experienced such persecution, but there will be a time when such persecution comes, and when that happens, do not react out of flesh by getting upset, but deal with the situation with the biblical values. If you trust the Lord, like David saying, though an army may encamp against me, your enemy will be led to its own destruction. The verse 5 says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David wished to live in the house of the Lord in all the days of his life. There are people who live in the house of the Lord, and there are others who don't. I was thinking what it means by the house of the Lord. And I believe this is the church in our time. There is a story of Jesus as a young boy who stayed behind in the temple in Jerusalem even after his parents had departed. And the mother and the father had to look for Jesus, and they finally found Jesus in the temple. He told his parents, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? I'm sure his parents were shocked, but that's what happened. And I believe some Christians to live in the beautiful house of the Lord, and there are others who are homeless. As a Christian, we better live in the house of the Lord. The church is the house of the Lord, and there was a time in my life too that I did not have a spiritual house. I was homeless, and I became very unstable. We all should have a house of the Lord to enter in and to dwell. So if anyone is spiritually homeless, I want to give them bread to the hungry and a house to the homeless. So if anybody is seeking the house of the Lord, Remnant Church is open and welcomes anybody who wants to come. The house of the Lord is a good place to be. I used to go to a seminary thinking I was going to be a priest, but I got kicked out. But with God's leading, I started hosting a gathering. Goodness of home is where a father and a mother and the children all work together and support each other. I think same thing with the house of the Lord. So although I did not become a priest, God told me to start hosting a meeting to create such a house of the Lord. So I did not know how many people would show up, but I started doing so, and some people came. Not a lot, but some came. And just like now, with more people in the church, we could do far more things together than me doing everything all by myself. And there are some Christians who do not know the importance of the house of the Lord, saying that, oh, it is demonic. But that is completely wrong. If we should all belong to the house, and then we should all belong to the house, and we should all serve in the church. The verse 5 and 6 say, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." As I mentioned before, the scene of David being chased by Saul is a prophecy of the coming great tribulation. Like it says in the verse 5, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent." It sounds like this is underground church, like in a hidden place. Like in North Korea or China, where communist regimes are oppressing the Christians. They create underground churches since they cannot gather openly. The officially approved churches are so corrupt that if you have real faith, they have to go to the underground church without telling anybody. The communist regime declares that there is no God. So when you go to a church, you will be arrested. I heard about some brothers and sisters of Christ that they host services at their places. They take turn and host a different house every week. And they have a guard watching to see if there is no government authority coming to the meeting. I was told that the guard would usually hang a hammock and pretend to be sleeping, but keep an eye open and keep an eye on the street. That's how they watch. Very clever. And this is the hidden house of the Lord for them. And we will be entering into such era too. The verse 6. "Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me at his sacred tent. I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." I believe real church is the underground church. When the Great Tribulation comes, the official churches become like a beast, and the underground churches would receive much blessings and power. It's a glorious and scary story at the same time. The verse 7, "Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek my face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me." In the Bible, there are many expressions like, seek my face. What does it really mean? When you hide your face, you cannot see the facial expression. just like tainted windshield glass of a vehicle. It's scary because you don't know if the driver can see you or not. When God hides his face, we do not know if he's angry or laughing or happy or sad. We just don't know. We all make mistakes, but sometimes I look at some people and think God may be hiding his face from them. They're looking at somewhere else, though they think they're looking at God's face. So what is the facial expression now? What is God's facial expression now regarding apostasy of the end time? I think it is a stern face. This morning's Akashimbun newspaper also said that fear the Lord. There are people who cannot even see the face of the Lord. But we are blessed to be able to see his face. And from what we see, I do believe that his face is very serious and stern. The verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Verse 10, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Being forsaken by a mother and a father do not happen that often, but it does happen in this life. But the Lord is always there to help. There are orphans too. When I was young, I worked delivering milk, and then there was a young man, my co-worker, whom I became friends with. He was a good worker, and we got close, and he eventually told me that he was an orphan. He had a complex about not having a family. And when he got married, he did not have any family members to invite, and I remember going to the wedding to help him. This happens in the natural, and this will also happen in the spiritual world too. It is prophesied in the gospel saying, for I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, again, daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. There will be a time when a pastor raises a voice against the false teaching and lose his life, and I think there may be even a law that persecutes people of God, like being sued for not worshiping the wrong God. When such time comes, it will be a reality that a mother and a father would forsake Christians. When that happens, the Lord would receive me. It says, we all hope and pray that it will never happen, but when the church turns into a beast and we get persecuted and get kicked out of the church, do not be discouraged. Even myself, I was forsaken by my spiritual father. I was at this church there for years, learning things, and I still am very grateful for the teachings. But their belief on the end time and the pastor warning to test the congregation if they are worth taken up by the Lord was too much for me, and eventually I got kicked out. And the other day, when I was cleaning my room, I found the test paper from that time, and scoring 15 out of 60. It was very unpleasant. But I was not forsaken by the Lord. And my spiritual endeavor took after that. So if that were to happen to you, being forsaken by the spiritual parents, do not be discouraged. As long as you have the right relationship with the Lord, He will receive you. The verse 11, teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witness rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. The way of God in the Bible is always described as a small, narrow way. People's way, you can walk on your own. But if you want to walk on the path of the Lord, you need to be taught by the Lord. As David asks, teach me your way. Without God, he couldn't find God's way. one of the disciples also asked the Lord to teach them the way. Please do not forget that God's way need to be taught by the Lord. The Bible says the path for life is narrow, and those who walk on it is few and is hard to find. But if we humble ourselves and sincerely ask the Lord to show you the way, He will show you the way. But those people who think they're smart and rely on their own intellect and understanding might not be able to find the way because they do not seek it. Remember Pharisees asking Jesus whether they're blind? And Jesus responded saying that if they were blind, they had no sin, but because they see, their sins remain. So only the humble will find the way. Living a life as a Christian for 40 years, I think I would not have entered into this path if the Lord did not show me the way. There were many times that I went on the wrong way, believing that I was on the right path. And for example, in holiness gatherings, they were saying that you need to confess your sins in front of others, and I remember doing that, and that was very hurtful to my soul. And in gathering of brethren, some churches believe in expelling the pastors, and they actually did so. And if I stayed in those churches, I would not have become a Christian that I am now. But I was seeking the truth, and the Lord, bit by bit, lured me into a narrow yet stable path of righteousness. But those who are going down the wrong path do not see that they're on the wrong path. So as David is seeking and asking God to teach him the path, we must ask him humbly. The verse 13, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Let us all pray and wait for the Lord, and let us keep asking for His way.